from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Man, a year of growth. It's been full circle, you know, taking every day, my rookie year, just day by day, learning from Roquan and Patrick Queen, you know, just taking it day by day. And now it's just like, man, I'm ready to roll. Like, just every practice, I'm getting more comfortable and more comfortable. So just taking it day at a time, being blessed for the opportunity and just making every play count.
That's a guy that's going to be under the microscope coming up here in a couple of weeks. And once we get into the regular season, that's Trenton Simpson, who is going to be replacing Patrick Queen right next to Roquan Smith in that Ravens defense. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. NFL Lunch, turn it up Tuesday. Third round pick last year out of the University of Clemson. Nobody denies the physical traits that are there. Is he ready to take a quantum leap from being someone who a year ago at this time was still grasping life in the NFL, and in particular trying to come to the nuances of the Mike McDonald defense? Now year two, does have familiarity with Zach Orr.
Yep.
How big of a leap does he need to take? Because Patrick Queen, and you read the numbers an hour or so ago, this guy had 133 tackles during the regular season last year.
Hey, Bob, before I get to that, now, because I was just thinking when you were mentioning that he's got to make that big leap, does he have to make a bigger leap than the left guard, right guard, or right tackle? Which needs to make the biggest leap, do you think?
I would say offensive line.
Me too.
At this point in time, but you don't want him coming in here being a stiff either.
No. Because, Bob, you know, like we talk about, you know, Patrick Queen, he struggled as a rookie. Had 106 tackles. 106 tackles. He had 3 sacks, and he had 1 interception. And the biggest knock that everybody always had on him, pass defense. He had 2 pass defense the whole season. And I think, Bob, he might have worn out as the season went along, because like the last 2 games of the season, 4 tackles. In the playoffs, Tennessee, 2 tackles. Playoffs, Buffalo, 2 tackles.
What I remember about his rookie year, Patrick Queen, was the regular season game against Tennessee, where A.J. Brown basically carried him and about 4 other people into the end zone. And then Derrick Henry won it on that long run in overtime. A little small, too, I guess, was the criticism.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Patrick Queen, 6 foot, 232, ran 4.5. Came out of LSU, didn't start at LSU. And then he came on as the season went along. So play time, didn't have a lot of it. Trenton Simpson, 6'2", 240, ran 4.4 at the combine. So, bigger body, bigger man, faster. And another guy that played a lot of different positions, was a running back and everything else, and didn't have a lot of work at the linebacker spot. As a rookie, my opinion, He was lost in space. I mean, he was clueless out there. He looked like he ran 4.9, didn't look like he knew what he was doing. And we heard him talk about how he's feeling more comfortable every day. Totally agree. Looks like a different football player out there. Looks like a good football player. Looks like an instinctive one. A guy that's playing fast. And when you're playing fast, then, you know, you are thinking a lot less. And I think that's the biggest thing with him is, now, it's going to be important. And I'm, Bob, of talking with the coaches and stuff, I think they expect him to be up around 100 tackles. And if teams are, how they're going to try to take advantage of him, at least early on, you know Kansas City's going to try to take him the pass game. They're going to go after him. And he's going to get tested in that first game, Pacheco, you know, or if he's on Kelsey or whoever he may be covering, but he's going to be tested in the pass game right off the get-go. But could he get 100 tackles? I think it's definitely possible, because if he runs and the D-line, because the D-line's very good up front, and they got some guys that can take two. And what do I mean by taking two? Like, you have a Michael Pierce or Travis Jones in there, you're taking on the guard and tackle, not letting them come up to the linebacker, not letting them combo up to the linebacker, where if Trenton Simpson can run free, he's going to make a lot of tackles. And I would imagine early on, kind of like they did with Patrick Queen and like they did with Simpson in that Pittsburgh game, they run blitzed him and pass blitz him to get him going and make him feel comfortable. So I could see a lot of that coming. But, Bob, I could see a guy because played in that one game, had one sack, you know, against Pittsburgh. They're going to let him blitz. And he's going to be a good guy. He's going to get some sacks. Will he get 3.5 sacks? Probably in that vicinity, I would imagine he'd have 3.5. 3 to 5 sacks would be an outstanding year for him. More pass defense than Queen had, which was 2. If he could get that up where he's not a liability in cover. Patrick Queen was a total liability early on, other than probably this year. And then being with Roquan, I think, is going to make his life a lot easier, because Queen had to learn from, you know, veteran guys, but they weren't great players. He gets to learn from a veteran guy who is a great player and is going to make his life a lot easier, just like it made Patrick Queen's. You know, I mean, because Queen, the year and a half that he played with Roquan, he took off. And he looks good out there, and if he can do those same types of things and have 100 tackles, Bob, then sky's the limit for him. Then you're looking at 130 the following year, and then it's, this kid's better than Queen was.
Now, I'm not saying he will, but if Trenton Simpson falters,
yeah,
what's the in-house replacement, or are they going to have to go elsewhere? Because Malik Harrison has kind of found a role, more of an edge setter, not as a guy that could bookend or sidekick, if you will, with Roquan Smith.
I think what they'll do then, Bob, you know, I mean, in run situations where they're playing to run board or Ross, I think Ross is a good football player. He's just not that big. But passing situations, Bob, you know, they kept Queen and Roquan both in because they played the pass well. All right, otherwise you got Millett and you got Hamilton. You know, you got all these guys where you can put DBs on a field and then save Simpson. But, I mean, Simpson can run as good as any of them. You got maybe you're putting a TJ Tampa in there or somebody like that who's a real good zone guy, smart guy, aware guy, that type of guy. So if he's an issue in pass, I'm guessing early on in the season, he may be standing next to Zach Orr.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch. Let's get a couple of calls in here before the American League East report. Let's go to Woodbury. It's Joe. Joe, what's happening?
First of all, I'm going to tip my hat to that caller you had earlier that was talking baseball about the trades and all that. That guy know what he was talking about. I started to record him. Another thing is, the other guy or something else said something about what is the big deal about Bateman down there catching and throwing whatever with Lamar. Evidently, this guy knows nothing about camaraderie, mm-hmm, because he don't know if it's about relationships, yeah, or it ain't about nothing. So evidently, he don't know nothing about a vertical relationship, because that will help you with your horizontal relationship. Now, my point, is Queen going to play the same position that he played when Roquan came here?
Is Queen playing the same position? Are you talking Simpson?
No.
In Pittsburgh?
Oh, in Pittsburgh?
No. Listen, once Roquan came, remember we had
Queen moved playing. Over.
Right. So what position is he playing at Pittsburgh?
Let me see if on the depth chart they
right. Because if they try to stick him where they stuck him when he first got here, he's not going to flourish. We know that.
Yeah, he's not a Mike linebacker.
Okay, cool. Well, he might do good.
Well, all they say is he's the right inside linebacker.
Ooh, right inside. And here he became the outside, right?
No. He was an inside linebacker, okay. But he was a Will linebacker, which he got to run. You know, a Will linebacker kind of is protected and gets to run and make plays.
Okay, cool. Now, last but not least, y'all, the NFL may be trying to shake it up with another game. How about let's shake it up with realignment? Because I'd rather see the Colts in the North, the Ravens in the East, the Cowboys in the South, headed together. Carolina in the East. What other team would have to move? I think that did it for all of them, correct?
Oh, no. I'm confused.
Yeah, me too.
I can't remember who's in what division now.
No. You put the Dallas Cowboys in the South.
Not happening.
That takes them out the East. You put the Carolina Panthers in the East. That takes them out the South. You put the Ravens in the East. Oh, Miami goes to the South, the AFC South, because Colts are coming out of the South and going into the AFC North. And that would put everybody closer to their own region, and they would save money. They would have less time traveling, all that. That's just my thought. And for Jason Lockefour and Ken Wyman, y'all do polls on crazy stuff like that. Do a poll on with the people like realignment. You guys have a great day, man.
There's Joe. Now, the Baltimore Colts used to be in the AFC East back in the post-merger NFL of the 70s. Ravens were in the Central until they moved to four divisions. Dallas out of the East, where they're no longer playing Washington and the Giants two times in a year, or Philly, that ain't happening.
Bob, when I was in San Fran, the NFC West was San Francisco, Carolina Panthers, Atlanta, New Orleans. That was the NFC West.
Right. Well, remember when the Cardinals moved from St. Louis to Arizona, they were still in the NFC East.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For a long time. But I hear you working there on the realignment, but some of these traditional rivalries, I think they want to keep the same, like the Ravens and the Steelers.
And you got Cowboys-Redskins is a huge one. All those NFC East ones,
They're not going to break that up. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. American League East report. Stay tuned for that. And then we'll talk Orioles in Seattle. Tonight, 9:40, game 1 of 3. Two first place teams, Ryan Divish, Seattle Times, coming up in a few.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Turn it up Tuesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Orioles tonight in Seattle, taking on the Mariners. Birds take 2 out of 3 from Seattle in mid-May. Two first-place teams. Orioles percentage points above the Yanks in the East. Seattle 3 up over Houston in the West, but that was a pretty hefty advantage, kind of trimmed just a little bit. Here to talk about Seattle, just dropped 2 out of 3 to the Twins. Orioles took 3 out of 4 from Texas. All-star break coming up in a couple of weeks. Let's welcome back from the show, to the show, I should say, from the Seattle Times. He is Ryan Divish. Ryan, good afternoon, good morning, your time. Thanks for joining us again here in Baltimore.
Oh, happy to do so.
All right, man, I'm looking at we just went over the stats for both teams offensively, where the Orioles are in the top of this, that, and the other in many categories. Seattle kind of bringing up the rear in a lot. And Julio Rodriguez, I guess, comes to mind because, you know, he's one of these young superstar players. I mean, we got a couple here in Baltimore, but Rodriguez right now seems like he's in the midst of a subpar season. So are there concern levels with the tepid offensive numbers? Have there been injuries that we don't know about? Why is Julio Rodriguez kind of scuffle city so far this year?
It's not injuries. He just has been bad. You know, there are times where you could roll a ball up there and he would probably take a swing at it. You know, like basically the Mariners offense is the opposite of the Orioles in every way. It's just putrid and they strike out a ton. They have the lowest batting average in baseball. They're not great with runners in scoring position. And, you know, that's just a problem. And yeah, a lot of it centers around Julio because he's kind of, when he's right, it makes everything a little easier. And what he's found is that teams aren't going to give him hittable pitches, and he hasn't been quite disciplined enough to not swing at them. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, with right-handed power hitters, and you've seen it before, or really any power hitters, but especially right-handed ones, if you bust it in on their hands with fastballs early, and then, you know, once you get ahead with those, you go slow away, you know, sliders and curveballs away off the plate. You know, he swings at the pitches early and he swings at the pitches late. And, you know, he just isn't in a spot where he can hit either of them. I mean, he's got some swing issues. His personal swing coach, who lives in Tampa, is actually in Seattle right now. Be here the whole homestand. He got here for the Twin Series because he's trying to figure something out along with the Mariners hitting coaches. And it's just been, you know, a really subpar season for him, and you know it's starting to, fans are starting to get kind of irritated with it, and you know he's still making a lot of plays in the field, and when he does get on base, he's a threat to run, but the hitting has just been a problem, and fans are getting very upset about it.
And Ryan, it's interesting there, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I watch Seattle play all the time, but looked like he was busting out a little bit there in the month of May, hit over almost 280, and then bottomed out again in June. Is this kind of part of a team-wide malaise? Because there's a lot of Mendoza line batting averages sitting there with the Mariners right now.
Now, the Mariners' offense has sucked pretty much all year. They haven't been good at all. You know, you look at just they do hit a little bit of home runs. In May, they were a little bit better about hitting some home runs. But, you know, they strike out so much, and guys that they brought in that they figured were going to help, guys with proven track records like Mitch Haniger, Jorge Polanco, Mitch Garver, guys that have hit before at the big leagues, they've been infected by this strikeout problem and not hitting. And you throw in Julio and even J.B. Crawford, who was, you know, a 270 hitter last year and one of the highest on-base percentages in all baseball. He's not hitting either. And so I think it's kind of been contagious, the struggles, and they're all trying to figure out a way to make it better. And I'm sitting there talking about how bad they are offensively, and they're still in first place in the West, which is crazy. But, yeah, I don't know that it's going to get any better. You know, I have to think that it would, just because – it can't get much worse. Like, you know, you've hit bottom. It's got to get better because the numbers and just like the laws of baseball say that nobody can be this bad for this long, especially guys that have hit before. But, you know, it's hard to say. It just, every time you think that they are getting better, it kind of reverses. They had a horrible road trip where they lost a series in Miami and, you know, got beat up by the Guardians a little bit, lost a series in Miami, and then lost a series in Tampa, and then come home and lose a series to the Twins. I mean, the Mariners have been really good at home, but they're playing pretty poorly right now.
Ryan Divish, Seattle Times, talking about the Seattle Mariners hosting the Orioles, start of a three-game set, Kirby against Rodriguez. And you mentioned they are in first place, and still by three games, it was a heftier advantage, but it is what it is, as Houston has now finally gotten over 500. They just swept the Orioles here a couple of weeks ago. But the pitching is obviously the calling card here. Talk about not just the starting pitching, but what that bullpen situation is looking like and how they're trying to maintain an advantage. Maybe not in the West when it's all said and done, at least based on that offense you were just talking about, but certainly keeps them in wild card consideration.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can still win the West just because the West isn't very good. You know, you look at Texas, they're really struggling. I think they're 8 games below 500. Now they're capable. We've seen their offense of scoring runs to come back and be good. Houston, you know, they've been hot, but they've been able to kind of manipulate their starting pitching. We have so many injuries. Verlander's out right now with a neck issue, and they lost two guys to Tommy John. Another guy's banged up. But they've had enough off days and kind of like to piece together some starts. But, you know, once you get to kind of July, you have to start playing more. You don't have the off days. That's where they're going to kind of get exposed. They're going to hit, and they'll try and hit their way through games. But until Houston can add some pitching help through the trade market, I still think they're a little suspect. But that's the one thing. The Mariners' pitching is good enough, especially their starters, to like, it's like a good defense in basketball or football. You're always going to kind of hang around and be in the game. It might be ugly, and then you try and win it late. But their bullpen hasn't been great either this year, not like it's normally been. You know, they've had a lot of key injuries. Matt Brash, who was one of their better middle relievers, had Tommy John. They had another guy they got from the Braves, had Tommy John. And then Gregory Santos, who they traded for from the White Sox, who was expected to be a kind of a big leverage late-inning guy, had a lat strain. He's just coming back. I think he'll be back in a couple weeks. So they've had some injuries. Even their closer, Andrés Muñoz, is dealing with a back issue. You know, when he's right, he's really dominant. But, you know, that's they're piecing it together enough in the bullpen. A lot of times, you know, the Mariners play a ton of close games. But really, if the Mariners can get a quality start from their starter, you know, and have some sort of a lead or have it close, they can kind of, you know, play matchups with their relievers and have some success. But, you know, Baltimore has proven they can hit anybody's starter, and that's what happened in Camden earlier this year. They banged around Bryce Miller and Logan Gilbert and George Kirby. And, I mean, Mariners should have been swept in that series. I don't know how they won that one game. But, that's how they win, is they get a good start from their starters. And their starters are good. But the bullpen has just enough arms to kind of close out wins, but they can get ugly when they have to go to the middle relievers early in a game. It can, a deficit can get stretched real quick.
Now, let me ask you this, Ryan. Tell me about Tyler Locklear, local kid here.
Yeah, he sent him down a little bit ago, and I thought he held him. I thought he did pretty well, considering he was making essentially a jump from Double-A to the big leagues. He played a handful of games in Triple-A, and they had to bring him up when Ty France was injured. I think we'll see him again here in the next few weeks, so we could see him today. I haven't looked to see if Mitch Garver went on the injured list. But like, you know, he's a player that he can really hit. You know, he's got some power potential. He's not gonna walk a lot. At least he wasn't when he was up here. But I think he showed well enough that they consider him part of their future plans. Or, I mean, he could be a trade piece. You know, it's a guy that has some power and he's improved significantly playing first base. That was kind of a big question mark as whether he could handle it defensively. And he's done okay. So I think, you know, he's going to be a part of their future or somebody else's future if they trade him.
Ryan Davis, Seattle Times, Vinny and Haney went up 5-7 the Fed. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. We'll say hi to Mike Bauman and Austin Voth for us when you're out there.
Oh, yeah. Great like, yeah, two very different guys in terms of personalities, too. But, yeah, I always look at Bauman and think that he missed his calling as a WWF wrestler. That's a big dude.
Ryan, appreciate the time. Good luck to the Mariners, other than their matchups with the Orioles, obviously. And we'll talk you down the road, I'm sure.
Thanks, Ryan.
You guys.
There is Ryan Divish making it clear their offense sucks,
yeah,
and has all season long. So it's up to Grayson Rodriguez to keep that suckage rolling as the Orioles get ready for this three-game set. We'll come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, 2 o'clock. And then Baltimore Baseball Tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Tim Barbalace, Mike Bordick here on the Fan. Hey, real quick, Kai called in a half hour ago asking about the Baltimore boxing champions. Got to give some tribute here to the Dundee brothers, who were born in Italy but moved to Baltimore as kids, and both won world championships. Joe was the welterweight champ. Vince Dundee was the middleweight champion. Because I remember that, because when I was a kid, I used to get my hair cut in Highlandtown, and they had pictures of both of them on the wall at the barbershop. So there you go. So the Dundee brothers, welcome to the club. Not born here, but raised here and became world champions. Hey, Carmelo Anthony wasn't born here. We claim him because he grew up. So, yes, they'll be part of our championship world there, Kai. So let's make it six, and I'm probably forgetting other people as well. Nolan, you got us any parting words for the listeners here on our way out the door?
Well, you might not be able to box like them, but at least you can have the same haircut. So there's that.
I got way better hair than the Dundee brothers had, but that's just me. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan, Inside Access, coming up next. BBT, Salvo Auto Parts, Lanolin, and Mike Bordick. That's at six. Right now, let's get a fun house.
Quick Draws, Fun House. The rudeness to Miss Text Reader.
Italian hair.
The fastest gun alive.
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
1057 The Fan.
First texter here wants to know, do you think what the Orioles do in games 1 and 2 will impact their pitching decision for game 3? Suarez probably deserves another turn through the rotation after his last outing, but then again, that could be a convenient day to get Kramer back in.
Well, they stink offensively, and that could be an ideal spot for Dean Kramer. Then again, you're going to Oakland, who just stinks in general. So maybe you get Suarez to deal against Seattle, and then Man Bun makes his return Friday night against the A's.
Another one here.
Not that Brandon Hyde's going to ask for my opinion, by the way.
Sure. Talked about Mike Bauman there briefly with Ryan Divish. This texter says, look out for Mike Bauman. The revenge game, it's coming at some point this series. Who knows? Maybe he vultures a win for Seattle just like he did for the O's last year.
Well, he had, 10 of those? But we talk about that Cedric Mullins game. The guy that gave up the ball that Mullins stole over the fence, Mike Bauman threw it. And then the very next pitch, the Canzone, which was a home run, Mike Bauman threw it. I think, if anything, the Orioles are going to want revenge.
Another one here says, I think back to that May series against the Mariners. O's took 2 out of 3. Probably should have been a sweep, but the bullpen let them down. I think they do get the sweep this time around. Get Kirby out as soon as possible tonight. Start taxing that bullpen.
Yeah, as I've said many times before, it's not against the rules to get the lead. The Orioles are one of the best teams in baseball coming from behind. But get out to an early advantage and force that offense of theirs to play catch up. There are proven commodities on that team, let's not forget. But it's been a team-wide suckage. And they do K a lot. You look at those strikeouts. I mean, Rodriguez is almost got 98 Ks on the year. Cal Raleigh's close to 100. I mean, this could be a nice day for Grayson to get double digits in the strikeout category.
Well, I think all the stats we're reading, doesn't that kind of speak to how dominant their pitching's been? If they're winning this many games with that bad of an offense, their pitching has to be elite.
Yeah, and also that division's not that great. I mean, Houston just got over 500 for 2 months. They were the only team in the West, Seattle, with a winning record when they had that 8-game lead.
And I got one more here on the Ravens. Texter says, I would like the Ravens to bring in some sort of insurance policy in case Trenton Simpson isn't what the Ravens think he is. I fear they're putting all their eggs in one basket. They just went through this a couple years ago and were enlisting the help of Josh Bynes off the couch midseason.
I don't think they would do that until Simpson has got to prove that he can't play. And right now they like him a lot. So I don't see that happening unless maybe if he got hurt. But I like the Ross kid, I think, is a good player. You know, he's just small, but he's got some skill, Michigan kid. And then Board, you know, Board's a good teamer.
It always seems like there's some undrafted guy in the linebacker conversation.
Yeah.
You know, Zach Orr, traditionally, the Ravens have had a strong history.
Josh Bynes was undrafted.
Right. So not just...
Because they can play teams. You know, I mean, big body... Got to keep them. Don't have to pay them a lot.
Yeah, and Ross, is he from Baltimore? Who's the Baltimore guy? There a linebacker from Baltimore who I'm forgetting.
Oh, it's he's escaping me.
He's the Malik, edge rusher.
Right? Malik?
Malik Ham.
Malik Ham.
There you go. So you got to represent there, too. But Ross could be interesting. But all of these questions will be answered starting in less than 2 weeks with the rookies, and then about a week later, the veterans report, and then everything will be off and running, getting ready for a 2024 season with great expectations. It's Super Bowl or bust with the Ravens. They've been to the playoffs multiple times. They were in the AFC Championship game last year. Anything short of World Championship Lombardi Trophy glory is going to be unacceptable to a lot of people, and the Orioles have now entered that conversation as well when it comes to winning the World Series. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up next. And then it's Baltimore Baseball tonight at 6, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, Tim Barbalace, and Mike Bordick, getting you ready for Game 1 against the first-place Mariners. Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed. Hey, real quick, Kai called in half hour ago asking about the Baltimore boxing champions. Got to give some tribute here to the Dundee brothers, who were born in Italy but moved to Baltimore as kids, and both won world championships. Joe was the welterweight champ. Vince Dundee was the middleweight champion. Because I remember that, because when I was a kid, I used to get my hair cut in Highlandtown, and they had pictures of both of them on the wall at the barbershop. So there you go. So the Dundee brothers, welcome to the club. Not born here, but raised here and became world champions. Hey, Carmelo Anthony wasn't born here. We claim him because he grew up. So, yes, they'll be part of our championship world there, Kai. So let's make it 6, and I'm probably forgetting other people as well. Nolan, you got us any parting words for the listeners here on our way out the door?
Well, you might not be able to box like them, but at least you can have the same haircut. So there's that.
I got way better hair than the Dundee brothers had. But that's just me. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. Inside Access coming up next. BBT, Salvo Auto Parts, Lanolin, and Mike Bordick. That's at 6. Right now, it's got a fun house.
Quick Draws, Fun House.
Actually, they got
the rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Italian hair.
The fastest gun alive.
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
1057 The Fan.
First texter here wants to know, do you think what the Orioles do in games 1 and 2 will impact their pitching decision for game 3? Suarez probably deserves another turn through the rotation after his last outing, but then again, that could be a convenient day to get Kramer back in.
Well, they stink offensively, and that could be an ideal spot for Dean Kramer. Then again, you're going to Oakland, who just stinks in general. So maybe you get Suarez to deal against Seattle, and then Man Bun makes his return Friday night against the A's.
Another one here.
Not that Brandon Hyde's going to ask for my opinion, by the way.
Sure. Talked about Mike Bauman there briefly with Ryan Divish. This texter says, look out for Mike Bauman, the revenge game. It's coming at some point this series. Who knows? Maybe he vultures a win for Seattle, just like he did for the O's last year.
Well, he had, what, 10 of those? But we talk about that Cedric Mullins game. The guy that gave up the ball that Mullins stole over the fence, Mike Bauman threw it. And then the very next pitch to Canzone, which was a home run, Mike Bauman threw it. I think, if anything, the Orioles are going to want revenge.
Another one here says, I think back to that May series against the Mariners. O's took 2 out of 3. Probably should have been a sweep, but the bullpen let them down. I think they do get the sweep this time around. Get Kirby out as soon as possible tonight. Start taxing that bullpen.
Yeah, as I've said many times before, it's not against the rules to get the lead. The Orioles are one of the best teams in baseball coming from behind. But get out to an early advantage and force that offense of theirs to play catch up. There are proven commodities on that team, let's not forget. But it's been a team-wide suckage. And they do K a lot. You look at those strikeouts. I mean, Rodriguez is almost got 98 Ks on the year. Cal Raleigh's close to 100. I mean, this could be a nice day for Grayson to get double digits in the strikeout category.
Well, I think all the stats we're reading, doesn't that kind of speak to how dominant their pitching's been? If they're winning this many games with that bad of an offense, their pitching has to be elite.
Yeah, and also that division's not that great. I mean, Houston just got over 500 for 2 months. They were the only team in the West, Seattle, with a winning record when they had that 8-game lead.
And I got one more here on the Ravens. Texter says, I would like the Ravens to bring in some sort of insurance policy in case Trenton Simpson isn't what the Ravens think he is. I fear they're putting all their eggs in one basket. They just went through this a couple years ago and were enlisting the help of Josh Bynes off the couch midseason.
I don't think they would do that until Simpson has got to prove that he can't play. And right now they like him a lot. So I don't see that happening unless maybe if he got hurt. But I like the Ross kid. I think is a good player. You know, he's just small, but he's got some skill, Michigan kid. And then Board, you know, Board's a good teamer.
It always seems like there's some undrafted guy in the linebacker conversation.
Yeah.
You know, Zach Orr, traditionally, the Ravens have had a strong history.
Josh Bynes was undrafted.
Right. So not just...
Because they can play teams. You know, I mean, big body... Got to keep them. Don't have to pay them a lot.
Yeah, and Ross, is he from Baltimore? Who's the Baltimore guy? They're a linebacker from Baltimore who I'm forgetting.
Oh, it's he's escaping me.
He's the
Malik,
edge rusher.
Right? Malik?
Malik Ham.
Malik Ham.
There you go. So got to represent there, too. But Ross could be interesting. But all of these questions will be answered starting in less than 2 weeks with the rookies, and then about a week later, the veterans report, and then everything will be off and running, getting ready for a 2024 season with great expectations. It's Super Bowl or bust with the Ravens. They've been in the playoffs multiple times. They were in the AFC Championship game last year. Anything short of World Championship Lombardi Trophy glory is going to be unacceptable to a lot of people, and the Orioles have now entered that conversation as well when it comes to winning the World Series. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up next. And then it's Baltimore Baseball tonight at 6, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, Tim Barbalace, and Mike Bordick, getting you ready for Game 1 against the first-place Mariners. Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.